If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read the first 8 verses for our scripture reading this morning. Here's what the Bible says. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And verse 8, and they remembered his words. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the occasion we mark, the resurrection of our Savior. And we know without the resurrection, we wouldn't have the gospel. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't be saved from the penalty of our sin. So we thank you what happened on the first Easter Sunday morning so long ago that Jesus came out of the tomb. And I pray as we remember that this morning that there'll be those that are listening that have never received him as their Savior. And as we talk about our risen Savior, they would come to him and claim the gift of salvation. Pray for the Christians that listen this morning. As again, as we think about our risen Savior, we would look at about how we're serving him. Ask ourselves, can we serve him better? Bless this time we spend together in your word. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Easter season is a special time for Christians. It's a time to remember the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And yes, this, like other holidays, Christmas in particular, have been commercialized. We have the Easter bunny, we have Easter candy, we have Easter baskets. It's a time where people usually get new clothes, a new dress, a new hat, a new suit, new shoes, but not so much this year. It seems it hasn't been commercialized as much this year. Easter Sunday is a special day. People come to church that don't come any other time. It may be the only time in a whole year that they hear hymns and hear the Bible, hear prayer, and hear the gospel. But not so much this year. In fact, hardly anybody will be in church on Easter this year. In fact, I've told a couple people this week, I'll be 69 in a few days, and this will be the first time in my whole life that I haven't been in church on Easter. This Easter, we'll sit in our homes around our televisions or our computers or our iPads or our phones, and we'll tune in and we'll hear and see an Easter service. And again, like me, this may be the first time in your life that you've ever spent an Easter at home instead of in the Lord's house. But regardless of how our circumstances have changed, my assumption this morning is that you're listening and watching because you want to hear from God. You want to find him. You want to get closer to him. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to hear from God this morning? You want to find God this morning? You want to get closer to God this morning? I'll tell you, you have to go through Jesus. He's the way. No man gets to God except through him. In Luke chapter 24, the Bible recounts the first Easter Sunday morning. The trial of Jesus was over. The slapping and the spitting and the beating and the whipping, the plucking of the beard, the crowning with the crown of thorns is over. Jesus had carried the cross to Golgotha, at least part of the way. The Bible says that he fell beneath the load of the cross, and a man from the crowd was drafted to carry it the rest of the way. He got to that hill that was shaped like a skull, and they nailed him to the cross, and he was crucified between two thieves. after some hours on the cross, he was taken down. Two of his disciples, Joseph and Nicodemus, took him down and buried him in Joseph's tomb, a tomb that had never been used before. The Jews' Sabbath had now passed. Jesus had laid in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. A group of women, they're not mentioned here in the book of Luke, but in other Gospels, we know it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women came to the tomb seeking Jesus. When the two men, Joseph and Nicodemus, laid him in the grave, they hadn't properly prepared his body for burial. At least that's what the women thought. I mean, the Bible does tell us that the two men did wrap his body in spices, as was the custom of burial. But the women thought that it wasn't completely right, wasn't completely done the way it should be done. So they came Sunday, the day after the Sabbath, early in the morning, bringing spices to anoint his body and give him a proper burial. Again, from other Gospels, we read that they discussed among themselves on the way to the tomb, how are we going to move the stone? Again, the tomb was a cave with a large stone that had been rolled in front of the grave. It was in a trough, and the trough ran downhill to the opening of the cave. And to open the cave or to open the tomb, you had to push that stone back up that trough. And the ladies were wondering on their way how they were going to get it done. But when they got there, they were surprised. The stone had been rolled away. And so they went into the tomb, and they discovered that the body of Jesus was gone. The Bible says they were perplexed. They didn't know what had happened. And while they were standing there, perhaps talking about what might have happened, two men in shining garments, two angels, appeared to them. And the Bible says that they were afraid. They bowed their faces to the ground. And the angels asked the ladies that morning this question: "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And then they made this statement: "He is not here, but is risen." It's one of the greatest statements in all the Bible. And the question that they ask and the statement that they made is important. And it's a question and a statement that speaks to each one of us that are listening today. And the question and the statement ought to cause us to do some thinking and do some examining of our lives on this Easter Sunday morning. First of all, it should cause us to examine the places that we're looking for Jesus. So let me ask you the question this morning: where are you looking for Jesus? Some are looking for Jesus in the Christmas manger. The only Jesus that they're looking for is a baby Jesus. And make no mistake, Christmas is important. We need to go back. Today would be a good day to do it, to go back in the Gospels and read about Christmas. Read the announcement that the shepherds heard from the angels: "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Read about the wise men as they follow the star and come to worship the newborn king. Listen to Mary as she talks about the visit that she had from an angel that told her not to worry, that the child that she was going to be was going to bear was conceived by God, by the Holy Ghost. See the stable where Jesus was born. Look at the manger where he spent his first moments of life. Remember every prophecy that was fulfilled by the birth of Christ. Talk to Joseph about the dreams that he had to take Mary as his wife, to flee from Bethlehem. See the baby that left heaven, came to earth. All these things are important to do, but I'll tell you this morning, you will not find Jesus in the Christmas manger. As the angel said to the women, he's not here, he's gone. So again, I'll ask a question: where are you looking for Jesus? Some are looking for Jesus on Golgotha's cross. The only Jesus they're looking for is a dying Jesus. And again, make no mistake, the cross is important. We need to go back and we need to read about it. Jesus had lived 33 years, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He stood before Pilate. He stood before Herod. And both of them said, I find no fault in him. There's nothing worthy of crucifixion in him. We need to go back and read about their religious leaders who, in their jealousy, whipped up the crowd that called out to Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. We need to read about the soldiers as they slapped him, hit him with their fists, beat him with rods, whipped him with that cat of nine tails, formed that crown of thorns and put it down on his head, plucked his beard, taunted him, ridiculed him, and then finally nailed him to a cross. We need to read the scripture, see how he died, and see how God laid on him every one of our sins, causing God to turn his back on his only son that caused Jesus to cry out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And all these things are important, but I'll remind you this morning, you won't find Jesus on the cross. As the angel said to the women, he's not here. He's not here. He's gone. So again, I ask, where are you looking for Jesus this morning? Some are still looking for Jesus in Joseph's tomb. The only Jesus they seek is a dead Jesus. Jesus's death is important. We need to go back and we need to read about it. How in his death, he took all my sins and took all your sins and paid for them. How he was our Passover lamb. How he met every requirement that God put on the Passover lamb in Moses's day, and how Jesus met each of those requirements. How in his death, God's righteousness was satisfied. God's justice was fulfilled. God's holiness was met. All these things are important, but we won't find Jesus in the tomb. As the angel said, he's not here. He's risen. He's risen. And so the question, why seek ye the living among the dead? And the statement, he's not here, he is risen, ought to cause us to examine where we're looking for Jesus. He said in John 14, verse 6, again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The women came looking for him in a cemetery, in a grave. The angel said again, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Don't look for Jesus among the dead. Don't look for life in the cemetery. You don't find life in the cemetery. You don't find life in the grave. And you won't find Jesus in the things of the world, the pleasures and the education and the material things, reputation. There's no life in any of them. They can't take a person who is under the penalty of sin, under the condemnation of death, and give him life. To do that, you need somebody that's been there. You see, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, according to Romans 3:10. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But the good news of the Bible, the gospel of the Bible, is that God loves us. In Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he went to the cross. God placed every one of our sins upon him. He paid for our sins. He went to the grave. And he stayed in that grave for 3 days and three nights. But early Easter morning, early the first Easter morning, the earth shook. the stone rolled away, and the Son of God walked out of that tomb. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus can say, hey, I've been there. I've done that. I've died. I was buried. I rose again. That's why he can take any sinner under the sentence of death and give him life. That's why we sing, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. So let me ask you again this morning, where are you looking for Jesus? Listen to the angels. He's risen. He's alive. He's here. He's extending an invitation for you to come to him. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Romans 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Jesus is not in the manger this morning. He's not on Golgotha's cross. He's not in Joseph's tomb. He's not in the things of the world. He's alive. He's standing at your heart's door. He's knocking. He's saying to every sinner that has never received Christ, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Now, there's something else that the angel's question and statement should make us think about. It should cause every Christian to examine how we're representing Christ. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? And so, Christian, I ask you this morning, do you serve a risen Savior? Sinners don't find life among the dead. Yes, some people today, are you saved? And they'll say, I think so. I hope so. I want to tell you, the world's not looking for a hope so or a think so salvation. They're looking for Christians that'll say like Paul did in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. When somebody asks us if we're saved, we ought to say, glory to God. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. I know whom I have believed. Christian, are you serving a risen Savior? Some Christians, the only prayers they pray is God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food. Or now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul should take. If I should die before I... And I'm sorry. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul should take. The world's not looking for that kind of prayers. It's not looking for now I lay me down to sleep prayers. It's looking for Christians that know how to get a hold of God. Looking for Christians that know how to get things from God as they pray. And so, I ask again, Christian, do you serve a risen Savior? Some Christians go to a restaurant and they say, let's pray. Thank you for the food. They hide their Bibles in brown paper sacks. They wouldn't testify about their Savior if their life depended on it. I want to tell you again this morning, the world's not looking for a yellow-belly, namby-pamby chicken kind of Christian. It's looking for a Christian that'll say like Paul did in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Christian, do you serve a risen Savior? How do you face trials? Do you face trials, say, woe is me? You have the Eeyore complex? Woe is me? Or do you have a confident faith that says, I know that my God is going to work all things together for good? The angel said, you won't find Jesus among the dead. If you, as a Christian, don't know who you have believed, don't get answers to prayer, are ashamed of him, or live in a state of discouragement, others won't find Jesus through you. They're not looking for that kind of God. They're looking for the kind of God that's alive, that works in the lives of people, people that love him, serve him, read his book, build his church, witness, give, and sing the song, "In all the world around me, I see his loving care. Though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. He's alive today. And you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." So as I close, let me ask you the question. Does he live in your heart this morning? He can. Revelation says he stands at the door and knocks. He's waiting for you to open that door and let him come in. Would you do that this morning? Would you say, "I'm opening the door to Jesus. I'm asking him to come into my life and save me from the penalty of my sins." And then to the Christians that are listening, maybe you need to say this morning, "I'm not the kind of testimony I need to be. I can't see a risen Savior in my life. I know he's there, but I haven't been reflecting that in my life. And with the Holy Spirit's help, I'm going to do better." And so again, if you're here, if you're listening this morning and you've never received Christ, what a better day than Easter Sunday to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Just pray and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty of sin, separation from you. But I believe you died for me. And right now, I'm asking you to be my Savior." Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Would you do it this morning? Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for this reminder of what the resurrection means to us as Christians. Thank you. It's a vital part of the gospel. Without the resurrection, there'd be no gospel. Most that are listening this morning have already received it, already asked Jesus to be their Savior. Help them to be a Christian that serves a risen Savior. And then, Father, I pray for all those that are listening that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. This morning, help them to see their sin and come to the only one that can save them from the penalty of that sin. Help them to come to Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.